You have a purpose on this earth. What is it? What is your purpose? Hopefully that's on the screen. No. John, here we go. Look there. Purpose. We have a purpose. What is your purpose? Okay, we're going to pass out some paper and pens. Ushers, would you do that now? I'm just kidding. You're going to have to write down your purpose. We're not going to write it down. But what is your purpose in life? You have one. Guaranteed that you have one. We're going to talk about it. Last year is over. 2017, good, bad, or whatever, it's over. 2018 is here. So it's a new time, we say. A new year presents itself. And God Himself has placed you here for a purpose. For a purpose. God did that. So we may have to be intentional in 2018. We may have to be proactive in 2018 as an individual, as families, and as a church body to be proactive and intentional to fulfill the purpose of God in 2018. So will you help us at Jones Chapel fulfill God's purpose? Will you, in your own mind, your thoughts, your prayers, begin to think more in 2018 about the body of Christ at Jones Chapel? Will you pray a little more? Will you think a little more about what God would have us to do? Purpose, vision, mission. It's went around the church world for years. Well, we need a vision statement. We need a mission statement. We need a purpose statement. We need all these statements. And they're good. They're good. Don't take me wrong. But if they're not fulfilled, if it's just something on the bulletin that we really don't pay attention to, or it's on a wall someplace, you know, it's good when we look at it, but we've got to live it out for it to be fulfilled. So only when any organization, church, or any other group, we talk about purpose, vision, and mission, only is it fulfilled when that group of people, a business, a church, or what have you, live out what the purpose and vision and mission is. So that means, as a body of Christ, here we are, the body of Christ gathered here this morning, that all of us, not one or two or three or four, but all of us gathered together, all the people that call this their church home, should be on purpose, vision, and mission of Jesus Christ the Lord. So we can write statements. We can look at the purpose statement in the bulletin. Do you know that's even in there? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Look right under Jones Chapel Church of God on the very first page. Our purpose is to be the church God called us to be and to provide an atmosphere where people can come to know Jesus Christ and find their full potential in Him. Okay? You say, well, I don't know, that's fair, or that's good, or that's great, or I don't like that, or whatever. Do you even know it's in the bulletin? You know, I don't preach on it, I don't talk on it a whole lot. But our purpose is to be the church God called us to be. All right, now that can mean a lot of things. To provide an atmosphere where people can come to know Jesus. That's not changed. It's not going to change no matter what's written here. And find their full potential in Him. We want people to be saved. We want people to find Jesus, and then we want them to grow. And we want to make disciples. You know, and how you word it on whatever statement or whatever, it is important. But the thing about it is, it's got to be in our hearts. It's not just on a piece of paper, not just in the bulletin. It's got to be in our hearts. Now, I'm kind of building a case, so bear with me just a minute till I get to the punchline, will you? I want to give you some opinion, some facts, and some of it's just opinion here. But over the past 20 years, there's been a whole lot of talk about purpose in the church world. A whole lot of talk. If I mention the name Rick, what? Warren, the church, he's known around the church world. Rick Warren. And what did he write? The purpose-driven life, the purpose-driven church, the purpose-driven on and on. Well, years ago, if you were here, you remember us going through the purpose-driven life. You remember the small group studies. You remember the different things we did with that. And it was important and it was good. So we've got a purpose and God's given us that purpose. Are we going to fulfill it? Are we going to think about it? Are we going to do what Scripture tells us? So here we've got churches, we've got believers in our own land, many of them, and we've kind of been on Easy Street. We've been on Easy Street for several years in America, the church has, anyway. So 50 years ago, some of y'all were around 50 years ago. I was too. Come on now. Are you with me? I'm trying to build this case here. If 50 years ago, if you had a conversation and somebody said to you, and we just took it out of here last Wednesday night, that nativity scene, 50 years from now, it'll be banned from public places. You won't be allowed to put the nativity scene out at Christmas. 50 years ago, you would have laughed. You would have said, you know, that's ridiculous. And you'd have laughed or what have you. It's banned. Or people are going to be trying to take the Ten Commandments out of public places or what have you. Probably laughed. And why would you laugh? Because we're a nation that was founded on biblical principles. That's part of who we are, the religious freedom and all the things our country was founded on. And you might have laughed, but today we see it all over the country. There's another phase, in my opinion, that's affected the church. There was a time that people said, and it went through the church world like crazy, that we've got to have a staff. No matter how small the church is or how big the church is, we've got to hire, notice that word, hire staff. Now, it's better to call a pastor, it's better to call a youth pastor, it's better to call a children's coordinator or what have you, that the heart and God and the church is meshed together. You don't just hire somebody in kingdom work. But there was a phase that, listen, we've got to have the staff, we've got to have a pastor, and then we've got to have this, and we've got to have that, no matter how big, how small the church is. And we're going to pay them to do the ministry. Every person that's on a paid staff needs to do their job, do it to the best of their ability, and we all agree on that, so don't take me wrong. But we're going to pay them to do the ministry. And a lot of people bought into that. And then what happened in the church in America is that the people in the pew, so many of them had this thought, I can just be an observer. I can just be an observer and I don't have to be a disciple because we have staff and we're paying them and they're to do the ministry. And yes, we're to do our jobs, but Jesus says every member's a minister. Every member is a minister. That everyone that's saved by the blood of Jesus has a spiritual gift, and we're all to be using those gifts that our vision and our purpose will be fulfilled. But the church world bought into that staff thing that was the answer to everything. Well, it's not. The answer is all of us working together on that purpose and all of us using our gifts and all of us being involved and all of us coming together to work in the kingdom. So that didn't work too good. In times past, and many of us have seen them to some degree, that the Bible now, the Bible was absolute truth. It still is my opinion. The Bible is truth. You don't find that everywhere today in our own country. the Bible's truth. It is truth, and the church is the moral compass, or was, and I hope will return in a greater way, the moral compass, if you will, of what's right and wrong, and the church was respected, and the church meant more in our society than it does today. And Sunday was Sunday. You go to church. Sunday is a day set aside to worship God, and everybody knew that. Now, everybody didn't go, but they knew Sunday was a time for church. Sunday was a time to worship God, and the believers went, and the unbelievers may not, but they knew that was the time. They didn't interfere with it. People knew years ago that Wednesday night there would be a prayer meeting going on, and they truly believed in prayer, and they truly believed they should go and be a part of that. Not so today. So, I'm still building the case, and I promise I'm getting to the scripture. In the middle of the 20th century, some things happened, along with all these other things we're talking about, and we had something called the Moral and Theological Rebellion. Now, you've heard about it in a lot of ways. Some says it is titled it this. They said that it was a social rebellion. Some says, no, it's a sexual rebellion. Some says, no, it had all kinds of titles, but the point I'm trying to make was it was rebellion against God and His church. And that's been happening. And you say, well, during those years, Billy Graham was still calling a lot of people to Jesus. That's true. Had crusades, and Billy Graham, people were getting saved, and yes, we remember those years too. Then in the 70s, 1970s, there's something you may remember called the Jesus Movement. And that was a bunch of hippies, if you will. They got together, a bunch of hippies, and they were going to be Jesus followers. And the church at the time didn't know what to do with them. Because these dudes had long hair and they had bandanas on, they had bell-bottom jeans on, and they'd sit on the floor and they would show some emotion. They might jump, they might shout, they might raise a hand, they might sway. And at that time, the church said, what in the world are we going to do with this bunch? Because they were the Jesus Movement. So there have been all kinds of movements through the years. And here we are in 2018, and I'm about to get there. So churches, they find it hard to say, okay, we're on mission or we're on maintenance. Okay, if you asked yourself the question about Jones Chapel, since that's where we're at, are we on mission or are we on maintenance? And it's so easy for a church to get off mission and onto maintenance. And churches go through cycles that we're on mission, and then we get into maintaining or maintenance mode. And we've got to be careful. We want to be on mission mode. That's the mode we want to be on. On the screen, the next slide, one word says fear. Fear. And sometimes this fear takes hold. And how many times in the Bible have you heard, fear what? Not. Fear not. The angel of the Lord appeared and said, fear not. The Lord said, fear not. So God's people should not be a people of fear. God's people should not be a fearful people, but yet the church can become fearful of, well, what do we do? And society says this and society says that. Fear is not a part of our mission or our goals or anything else, purpose. That's not for the Christian. The next word on the screen is isolation. We're isolated. Well, this is us. This is our church. This is Jones Chapel. Well, this is the Church of God in Mississippi. Well, this is the church of God around the world. And here's other churches around the world or whatever. This isolation thing says it's we and they. We and they mentality. Okay? It's us. We're saved and holy people in here today. Now, we're Christians in here. And out there, that bunch, they're all heathens and going to hell. We and they. It's like politics. Republicans and Democrats. Division. And there's a lot of division in the world today. And even in it's like the church is isolated. What are we going to do? It's us and them. And the politicians are coming after us. And the lawmakers are coming after us. And they're trying to take Jesus out of this and the Bible out of that. And it's us against them. And then that isolation mode is there. You remember Scripture, and Jesus was asked, why do you eat with sinners? And you know the Pharisees, Sadducees, they sure didn't like that. How do you think we're going to win anybody to Christ? Go eat with a sinner. They got on Jesus about that years ago. Well, church might get on us, but let's go eat with sinners. Let's mingle with sinners. I don't mean everybody go to the bar tonight now, but let's talk to people. Let's befriend people. So, now a few biblical examples, and then we'll get on to the Scripture. I believe God calls us as a body of believers, me and you, Jones Chapel Church of God, this very day to be on mission. I believe it's just like Jonah. And how will we respond? In 2018. See, we've got the whole year left. We're at a, quote, starting point. First Sunday in 2018. We've got a whole year to say, okay, who will we win to the Lord? What will we do? What the purpose, the mission, the vision, that kind of thing. Jonah, what's he going to do? Well, you know, here's what the Lord would have us do, I believe. Say, I want you to have that vision of purpose. I want you to have a purpose, a godly purpose. And I want you to be faithful. I want you to be faithful to what is true, what is right according to God. I want you to be faithful to that. I want you to be faithful to it. I want you to be consistent with it. And I want you to be a witness for me. Jesus says that, I believe, to us. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now Jonah, he took off the other way when he was called. He got in trouble. He took off 180 degrees in the other direction. And he just simply ended up in the belly of a fish. A great fish. A whale or a great fish. Whatever you want to say. I don't want to spend 2018 in the belly of a fish. Do you? No, you don't want to. We want to be on purpose. We want to be on vision of what the Lord has for us. So let's be thinking about it and let's be faithful to what we know. So, next screen says, what's your purpose? What's your purpose in 2018? What is your purpose in kingdom work? What's your purpose here? Why were you born to begin with? To glorify God. So everybody has a purpose. Some guys say, well, life just kind of happened for me, and this is how it happened, and I guess that happens from time to time, but usually you need to be intentional. You need to be praying through and asking God, what is it you want me to do, Lord? So the next slide is things I want you to think about. I want us to think about priorities in 2018. And I know we've got our own personal priorities. We know family sets up priorities they want to accomplish in the year. But I want you to think as a body of Christ, Jones Chapel, what is our priorities? What should we be focused on? Purpose and mission and vision. What things should we give attention to in 2018? What things really have our heart? What is God doing among us that we just need to sense? We just need to be a little more open to what God is doing that we can follow Him in that direction. So what's God up to? What's the priorities? What's got our attention? What's got our heart? And then that brings about the action of what we should be about. So, what's your purpose? What's God saying to you? Now, you've been building this case, you say. Now, let's get to the scripture. Matthew 22 on the screen. This is what Jesus is saying here. He says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with the question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Jesus told them plainly and tells us plainly today, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's not changed. It's not going to change. It's what Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Then we go to the next slide. It's Matthew 28, and this is Jesus at the end here. He says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So we got the Great Commission. We got the Great Commandment. We're trying to think, okay, it's 2018. What is that purpose? What is that vision? What is the things we need to be thinking about? What's our priorities going to be? And all these things. And he says it right here in Matthew 22 and 28. When our purpose becomes loving God, when our purpose becomes loving God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind, our life changes. Period. Now, we can read all kinds of books about purpose and vision and all that, and all that's great. But I want to tell you, when we love God like he told us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, when we do that, our life changes. Our priorities come in order. Our attention is on the things of the kingdom, and our heart, what has our heart, is kingdom work. And then the action follows. Because that's what our mind and our soul is in tune with, our heart and our soul and our mind. When we love him like he tells us, we need to love him. Then it's easier to invite somebody to church. Then it's easier to help make a disciple. Then it's easier to do the will of God. And the first things first, since it's the first of the year, he must be your Savior. You must be born again, he said. That means that you got to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of sin, to enter your life, and you're sorry for sin. You realize you're a sinner, and you realize that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and he's the only one that can save you. And you ask Jesus to forgive you of sin and tell him you want to live for him. That's the first thing. It's got to be done. Not coming to Sunday school or coming to church. You must be born again. Pardon me. That's the first step. You gotta be saved. And then we're going to love the Lord with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. Just got through the Christmas season. A wonderful time. You had a good time, I had a good time, we all had a good time. You went here to this family, there to this family. You went over here with the party with the friends. Great thing. Now, did you love Jesus with your heart, soul, and mind? And now let me ask you this question. How much Jesus was really in your Christmas? Now, we're the church folks, right? How much Jesus was really in your Christmas when you got together with family? when you got together with the office bunch, when you got together with whoever you got together with, how much Jesus was really in that celebration. You say, oh, you're being hard-nosed, preacher. You're pushing the envelope a little bit here. No, I'm not. I'm not saying we got to preach at every family reunion and every time we get together. But how much Jesus was in your celebration? Did you read the Christmas story at the family meeting? Did you tell people what God had done and how He had blessed and give Him praise for the Christmas season and for His birth? How much Jesus was in the celebration? Well, we got to figure that one out, I guess, huh? People say the church has lost its influence. The church in America is losing its influence, and I'm sorry to say that I have to agree with that a little bit, maybe more than I would like to. Why is that? Might be that our purpose is not too clear. It might be that we've tried every kind of ministry around. We've tried this, that, and the other, fads and everything else, and we've got off of purpose. It could be that we've gotten more interested in this, that, and the other than the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. It could be that we're good church-going folks, but we're not loving the Lord God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. It could be that we're going through the church motion thing, but somewhere along the line, we've forgotten our first love. That you can't preach too hard in this society, or you can't say this, or you can't do that because you might offend somebody, and you can't do this, that, or the other, but the Word of God will stand for itself. It could be that we don't love the Lord just as much as we think we do. With all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. Well, we got to be on purpose. Jesus has a purpose. When you were saved, I guarantee you Jesus had a purpose for your life. And you say, well, He had a purpose before that. Probably so. But I know if you're saved by the blood of Jesus, He's got a plan for you. It's a good plan. We've got to submit to that plan. Old Jonah, like I said, he ran from the Lord 180 degrees, ended up in the belly of a fish because he didn't want to listen to what the Lord said. He didn't love the Lord with all his heart, soul, and mind. He wanted to do what he wanted. I don't want to preach to that bunch over there. I don't even like them. I'm not going to go preach to them. Take that, God. Now, I don't know if he said it just like that. God said, okay. Hey, fish, come here. There he goes. You remember the story of the prodigal son? Hey, give me my inheritance. Give me this money. What's coming to me? I'm out of here. I'm tired of fooling. Now, this is a paraphrase, you well know. I'm tired of fooling with you. I'm tired of fooling my brother. I'm going to party it up. I'm going to live how I want to. Give me my stuff. I'm out of here. Bunch of old-fashioned fogies. Again, a paraphrase. I'm going to live it up, man. I'm going to the city. And here he went and lived a life of sin, carried on, and he found himself in the pig pen. A Jewish boy feeding the pigs. Now, didn't that go over well? And that part of the favorite part of that story, or one of the favorite parts of it to me, is it says, and when he came to his what? Senses. He said, I got to go back to my father's house. I got to say I'm sorry. I got to repent. Jonah got in trouble and ended up in the belly of a fish. A prodigal son was in the pig pen. Old Samson, he ended up with his eyes poked out. Because they did what they wanted to do. They lived the way they wanted to live, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. This is 2018. I've got this schism and this ism and this theology and this over here. I can pick any of that, do what I want to, march right into heaven one day and say, Jesus, listen, I just picked out one of these, and I know you're a loving God, and you'll forgive me, and I've done what I want to. Now let me into heaven. And Jesus, without salvation and the blood applied, will look right at that person and say, depart from me because I do not know you. Now, I don't know who we think we are in 2018, but God is still God. And we are to be His servants. We are to submit to His plan. We don't drum up the plan and say, okay, God, here's what I'm going to do. I'll see you in heaven one day. God says, I have a purpose for you. God, I want you to be saved. I want you to grow in the Lord. I want you to be on my team. I want you to be making disciples. I want you to love me with all of your soul and your heart and your mind. I got something for you to do. Well, your life purpose is all about you, huh? Nope. Now, we need to take care of our own business. We need to do what God would have us to do. We need to work. We need to, well, there's many things we need to do. But we say we're to love God with our heart, soul, and mind. I want to go to heaven one day. And then we do just what we want to, when we want to, without even considering what the Word of God says. As Americans, we do that kind of thing. Well, I want God's purpose. I believe you want God's purpose. So how will I develop that? How will I find more of God's purpose? Well, it goes back to the standard Sunday school answer. But it's so true. I'm going to read the Word of God in 2018. I'm going to spend time praying. I'm going to spend time in services and around the preaching and around singing and around Christian folks. And I'm going to develop that purpose of the Lord. And I'm going to spend some time with God. If you don't spend time with God, you're not going to develop this purpose He has for you. If you don't spend time with your wife after so long a time, the love dwindles. If you don't spend time with your children, you know, the relationship changes. We must spend time with God in prayer and Bible reading and being in church, being faithful to what we know is true. We got to spend time with Him. So this great commandment and this great commission will not be fulfilled if we don't spend time with God. If we don't spend time with Him and listen to His voice. Now, how am I going to listen to God's voice? That sounds like I'm going to be in my recliner and I'm going to be saying, Lord, okay, I want to hear your voice. And then a big thunderbolt's going to come. Kaboom! Ron, this is God. Do this. I doubt that happens. If it does, I'll come back and tell you. But it will probably happen through His Word when I'm reading it, when I'm praying, and Facebook's off, and the radio's off, and whatever, because that's just me and my personality. It's got to be quiet. I've got to be alone with God. And when I'm doing those things, He'll speak to me. He'll speak to you. Well, love yourself now. It's all about you. You deserve a break today. It's all about you. Do what you want to when you want to. Don't think anybody else. That's what the world says. But it's not what God says. God says over and over, and this is a paraphrase again, it's not about you. It's not all about just what you want to do. It's about kingdom work. And I love you. I died for you on Calvary's cross. I saved your soul. I love you. I mean, I really love you more than anybody or anybody's vocabulary can tell you. I really love you and care about you. And I have a plan and I have a purpose. And I want you to fulfill that. And I want you to love me with all of your soul and your heart and your mind, that you and I can team up and fulfill the very purpose I have for you. That's an exciting plan. That's an exciting plan. So here we go in closing. Look at the next screen. Fall in love with our Lord. And you say, now listen, preacher, I've been saved and I've done this and I'm this. Amen. But just fall in love with the Lord again. You know, go home, pray a little bit and say, God, you know, I didn't even like that sermon old Brother Ron preached up there saying this, that, and the other. But you know, there was a little truth in it. I just want to fall in love with you all over again. I just want to look at your greatness. I want to look at your splendor and your majesty and your righteousness and your holiness. I just want to fall in love with the Savior, my Savior, all over again. The next slide says, show that love to others. Lord, I just want to be in love with you and I want to have a close walk with you so I can show that love to other people, so I can help people learn about Jesus, so I can see people brought into the kingdom and saved. Help me to share that hope that I have with other people. Help me to share the love of God with other people. Maybe it'll be a simple invitation to church. Maybe it'll be an invitation to a small group I'll invite somebody to. Maybe I'll invite somebody this, that, or the other. And the last slide of the day, are you fulfilling His purpose? Not your purpose, not everything you think you should do, but are we fulfilling God's purpose? And we have to put that one-on-one. Ron, are you fulfilling God's purpose? And then you must put your name in the blank. Are you fulfilling God's purpose? You know, there's a lot of little poems and different things, but I don't remember it all, but I remember the one that says, when your life is past, what will last? When your life is past, what will last? And it goes on, it's talking about there's eternal things, you know, that'll last forever. And when this life's over, what's really going to make a difference? And my prayer is for all of us here, as we grow closer to the Lord in 2018, as we start the year focusing upon God's purpose and His vision. And that's the great commandment today. That's the great commission today. That's always been, always will be. As we focus upon that, as we focus upon, Lord, I'm going to love you with all my soul, all my heart, and all my mind. As we focus on that, that God will enrich us, that God will speak to us, and that we will see exactly what He wants out of us individually. Your family, this church body, that will see it clearly. God loves you. I challenge you to love Him with all your heart, all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. I ask us all to evaluate our priorities and just how much Jesus do we really have. Just how committed am I to Jones Chapel Church of God? How bad do I really want a soul to be saved? Or has the world got a little bit of hold on me? Have I been fooled by the devil? A lot to think about. Would you stand with me? Our Father in heaven, we are convinced there's no greater love than yours. You proved it by sending Jesus to die for our sins. You proved it in the resurrection. And Father, how very thankful we are to know you as Savior and Lord. There's people around this world still being martyrs today. They're dying because they mentioned the name of Jesus. And yes, we've had it made in the United States for a long time. But Lord, we see things we don't like in our own government. And Father, I pray we'll come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll come back to biblical principles. And Lord, it goes so much further than government and all that. It comes down to me. It comes down to each one of us right here today. And just what are our priorities? What has our purpose become? I pray, wherever we're at today, we'll realize how much you love us. And if we need to repent for simply not loving you with all of our heart, soul, and mind, then we'll repent of it today. And say, God, this is the first Sunday of a new year, and I ask you to forgive me. And I want your purpose and your plan and your way in my life more than any other thing. Don't want to be a Jonah. Don't want to be a prodigal son. Lord, I want to live out your will and purpose. So, Father, we're all at different stages in life. We're thankful for all the newborn babies. We're thankful for young mothers and dads. We're thankful for the senior saints and everyone in between. No matter our age, no matter our positions, Father, we say to you as a church body today, whatever it takes to help us love you with all of our soul and our heart and our mind, help us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.